Amen, 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 and good morning to everyone. Good morning. It is good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. How's everyone doing? God is good, and we thank him for blessing us to wake up and see another beautiful day. It's been a beautiful week, beautiful weather, and we just thank God that he's blessed us to be here on the first day of the week. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. If you're visiting with us here at the Fifth Ward Church of Christ, you're truly our honored guests, and thank you for choosing to attend our worship service this morning. Our elders will acknowledge all of our visitors at the end of our worship service. If you're watching by way of television, please stop. We know you have many choices, but we hope you'll stay with us for a few minutes and allow the Lord to speak to you through his word this morning, and we can encourage you. If you need someone to talk to, if you need someone to pray with you this morning, if you'll call a number on your screen, we'd be more than happy to do that, as we will. We started last week a lesson series entitled Disciples Master Training Series. Disciples Master Training Series. Our theme for the year is making disciples, making a difference. And we have been teaching lessons on discipleship. We've been searching the scriptures to find out how we as children of God can really make a difference in this world. And one is by making disciples. But you know, after you become a disciple, after we become a disciple, life has not ended. Matter of fact, our journey has really just begun. When we make that choice that we're going to be followers and learners of Jesus. Does everybody in here love the Lord? Amen. Sing a verse with me. I really love the Lord. Sing it if you mean it. Yes, I really love the Lord. Go ahead and sing it. Well, and you don't
know what he's done for me.
Oh, yes, he gave me. Yes, and that's why I love, yes, I love him. I really love the Lord. We are studying in the book of Ephesians chapter 6. And I know you've done your homework and read all of that chapter. I can't review all of last lesson, but we started on the armor of God. The lesson was entitled The Armor of God. And it is amazing that, you know, after we become a Christian, you know, we can be a Christian and still be naked as we want to be. We can be just as immature, and we can have salvation, but so weak we don't even realize it. Lord have mercy. And Paul, he writes to the church, and he says, I'm going to dive right in. He says in verse 13, Brother Willis read in your hearing, therefore take up the full armor of God, put on the full. It means that he's writing to already Christians, and he says to the Christians, put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day. Because we know the evil day is coming. Amen. Evil day might be the day for some of us. And so he's trying to prepare us for life. I mean, real life, everyday situation. Anybody need some help with Monday and Tuesday? And Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday, Lord have mercy. And Sunday. Amen. And he knows that. We're living on it because God, see, as long as we're in this earth, now that sin has come into the world, it is just multiply. And there is a remedy for sin. And we as Christians, sometimes we live lives that we are just as defeated as we want to be. And God does not want it to be that way for us. Amen. And so notice now, he says, and having done everything to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, he says, we can live lives that we can be confident. We can live lives that we can walk around with hope. We can live lives that we can deal with the situations that come up in our lives, situations that come up every single day. Not that we're going to be quote unquote so happy all the time, but we can make it and have joy in our lives. And I don't know about you, but I need some joy. Lord have mercy. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then he gives us these tools. He says, put on the whole. Oh, now listen, Jerry. I asked the church last week, and I know some of you were not here last week. I asked you if we can study this together. If we can commit, because see, this is one of those lessons. You know, you can't hit and miss. Because if you don't put on one piece of this armor, you will miss something. And you will be vulnerable to Satan and all of his devices. This is one you need to put on the whole. You can have the whole armor on and don't have the helmet on and get crucified. And either one of the tools. And so we're going through them one by one. And I asked the church last week, that can I take my time? As I get old, I'm learning how to. I know I will stop at my appropriate time, but that just means that you got to come back if you're alive next Sunday. Lord says the same. Amen. Or come to Bible class. And don't be rushing. Brother Gary, go and get to the point and hurry up and get through. You'll miss it that way. And so if you allow me to take my time and you do your homework and you read, you'll see that these passages will come to life. The Lord says the same. And here's the first one. First he says, put on the whole armor. Then he says, having girded your loins with truth. He says, stand firm, therefore. You got to put it all on. But he starts off with the truth. Girded. I titled the lesson, the belt. So gird, it means the belt. You know, the New International Translation would say the belt of truth. If you could see it, I tried to find a decent picture. This is a picture of the Roman soldier. Pull up the other, and then I pull a picture of a today's soldier and all the equipment that they have on. You can't hardly see the belt, but I promise you, he has a belt on. If you've been in the Army, the Air Force, Navy, Marines, you know you must have that belt on. Notice the next picture. Pull up the next picture. I think I got one more picture if they play it. Okay. Now, this is another Roman soldier, and you can hardly see the belt, but he has it on. And let's talk about this belt a little bit. I hope you got your belt on, brothers, today. Why, of all things, a belt? Because he could have started with other parts of the armor first, and he could have started with the sword. He could have started with faith. He could have started with the breastplate. But he didn't. He started with the belt. What purpose did the belt serve for the Roman soldier? What purpose does the belt of truth serve for us today? God is trying to tell us something. You see, for the Roman soldier, the belt was known as the cingulum. In translation, the Greek, or the balteus. It played a crucial part in the effectiveness of his armor. It was the belt that held the scabbard. He saw that soldier had this big long sword. Well, that sword, he didn't carry it around all the time. He pulled it out when it was time to fight. The scabbard was that which held the sword, and the scabbard was attached to the belt, and he kept it in the scabbard, and so he didn't have to carry this heavy sword all the time physically with his hands. It was a vital, the belt was vital. You imagine a soldier running out enthusiastic, he's running out, he's ready for battle, and he's charging for battle, and he don't have a belt on. You ever seen your boys, especially, they're so hurried to run out and play, and they see all the kids out, and they run out and they have their pants on, and don't have a belt on, if it doesn't have an elastic to it, and they run out and their pants fall down. Yeah. Well, the belt held everything together. It also, you might have saw in that picture, there were leather straps that were tied to the belt that flowed down on his loins, and those leather straps were attached to that belt to offer extra protection, and it girded it, and it also braced the soldier in a way that he could stand upright and fight with confidence. So it was the belt. Paul relates it as the belt of truth, as he saw many Roman soldiers. As we said last week, that for 2 years he was in prison and he was around Roman soldiers all the time looking at their armor. And so this belt is called the belt of truth because it holds everything together. And somebody might be asking a question, well, what is truth? What is true? Well, Pilate asked Jesus that. You remember that? When Jesus' trial, and Pilate was, he was convinced that Jesus was innocent, and he said to Jesus in a conversation, what is truth? In John 18, in verse number 38, as if truth can be many different things, as many, even in our world, especially today, believe the truth is not really, can even be found. That is not constant. Truth is not constant. But see, in our Christianity, in the world that we live in, we need to come to a decision what we're gonna decide is true or not.
Teach us.
See, because Jesus said in John 17:17, sanctify them. He says, with the truth. That's what Jesus said. Then he says, your word is truth. Speaking of God, your word is the truth. And truth is, you see, truth is ultimately what will truly come to pass.
Amen.
See, that's the measure of truth. Because see, everybody got a word and got a story and have a claim. And we live in a world where folks are confused. And either you have the belt on or you don't. Either you have something that's holding everything together or you don't. And now there are so many choices and so much confusion, and truth is relative, and what you think is truth and what the other person thinks is truth. But for the Christian, the Bible says God's word is our truth. That's what it says. And I know, and see, we can amen it, and we can say, but there are many individuals who would not amen that the Bible is the truth. And but ultimately, I think that we have to analyze the past, look at the present, even think about the future and decide, well, what really is truth? And ultimately, it's everything that will come to pass, that even has come to pass. And truth does not depend on whether you believe it or not. Truth is truth all by itself. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. And I was preparing this lesson, I was looking at examples in the Bible of things that God said, and they came to pass. You remember God told Noah to build an ark. And because he's going to destroy the entire living creatures in all of the world in Genesis chapter 6. He said, Noah, you build an ark. He told him exactly how to build it. And even folk who don't believe in the Bible know it came to pass. It did come to pass. God told Abraham that he would give him a son of promise, even in his old age. And he says, Abraham, through this son, all families, all nations of the earth will be blessed. We know Abraham today, in Genesis chapter 12, he gave him that promise. And it came to pass. God said that he would put a bow in the sky as a covenant to all of his children, that he would not destroy the world by water again. And every time it rains, almost somewhere at the end of the rain, the bow is in the sky. And it came to pass. He told Adam and Eve, he told them, he says, of every tree you may eat thereof, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you may not eat thereof. For in the day you eat thereof, Adam and Eve, you will surely die. See, truth is a statement. Truth is God's word. It don't matter whether Adam and Eve didn't have to negotiate. Truth is truth, whether it's good or bad. And he made a statement to Adam. He said, Adam and Eve, you can have everything you want. He said, but of this tree, you don't have to eat. God wasn't threatening them. He was making a truth statement to them. They would have lived forever had they not eaten it. Amen. But they ate it, and what God said as the truth came to pass. Mm. And sometimes we get confused with the truth, with threats. You know, like my parents used to say, I'll tell you what, you do it if you want to. You will never do it again. And, and my mother, my dad wouldn't issue threats. He would just say something. And we knew not to do. But mama, you know, she's trying to boss up. You do it if you want to and see what'll happen. And sometimes mom would let us get away with it. Yes, she did. And it would fool us sometimes because she let us get away and didn't punish us. So we know what we do. We try it again. We try it again. Well, now see, the truth is not a threat. The truth of God is not a threat. See, when God says something, it will come to pass. Now a threat can come to pass, but God's truth, whether you believe it, whether you want to obey it, whether you want to negotiate it or not, God's word is always truth. Amen. And God, Paul is telling the Christians, he says, put on this belt of truth because it holds everything else together. Oh, we got to study it. Some of you don't get it yet. His promises, his commands, God's command, his words, they're all truth. Amen. They're all truth. And I know I'm stating this, and some of us are not convinced that his word is true. See, but we do have a major decision that we have to make while we're on this earth. What will be our truth basis?
Teach us.
It's a decision. See, you got to decide on what's going to be your system and the way you live, that you either you know you're going to be accountable to someone or you're not. And some have chosen for our truth to be our friends. See, we run everything by our friends. Hey, what you think about? I'm thinking about doing this, and I want to know what you think about it. That's our right to get advice. Some folks have gone to the psychics for their truth. Yeah, you know, you go to the psychics, and I want to talk to my psychic before I make a final decision on the way I'm going to get. Some go to Scientology to find out what is true. Some go to our mates. Some engulf themselves in education, looking for answers in the world and knowledge. And then some would even search for truth in their own self. You know, we talk to people all the time who say, well, you know what, I just believe. Well, that's okay to believe, because without faith, it is impossible to please God. But our belief is in God, not in ourselves.
Yes, sir.
I was talking to someone the other day, and we were talking about life and death. And we were talking about death. And he said, you know what? I just believe when we die, that's it. We just dead all over. And some of us in Lord's church that read our Bibles, we might think that take light to that. But a lot of people believe that.
Yes, sir. That's right. Yes, sir.
Now, notice this. There is a truth. And it doesn't depend on what we believe or not. You can believe that when we die, we're dead all over, and that's it if you want to. But the truth will come to pass. Now, if I believe that we died, we have a spirit, a soul that will report back to God, and God is going to judge us. That's my belief. What is it based on? And Paul is saying, you got to put on this belt of truth in this Christian life. You have to decide what is going to be your truth basis. And the scripture just doesn't leave us to hanging.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't leave us to chance. It gives us a foundational knowledge that we must. That's why some of us, we become a Christian, and as soon as the wind blows, we're discouraged and we just give up on God. Listen to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, if you will, in the book, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. As Paul writes to Christian saints, and he says, verse 21, he says, but examine everything carefully. You know how I feel about those everything and all words in the Bible. To me, they're simple translations. They said every area of your life as a Christian. I love it. So notice, Christian saints, don't be naive. Don't just automatically trust everybody you talk to. Amen. Amen, somebody. It's all right to die. You don't have to scrutinize and be an antagonist and distrust everybody. But if you are thinking about dating, going out with somebody, examine them. Amen. Amen. Now some will go a little further and say, do a credit check, do a yeah, bro, I examine them. I don't know how far you would take it, but the scripture says, notice, examine every. If you are applying for a job,
good teaching.
Look up the company. See if they got any money in the bank. Yeah. If you are searching for a church, as every Lord's Day, we have individuals that fill out cards and say, I'm looking for a church home, or I'm searching. And I think that's noble. I think it's noble that someone, and I'm not saying that a person couldn't do it, come in and hear a message of the gospel of truth and respond to it and be baptized in Jesus Christ. I'm not against that at all. But at the same time, you need to be careful who you hooking yourself up with, who you making your commitment. There are all kinds of groups who are teaching things. Some of it may be part truth. And you get in and find out it's something. And Paul says, examine everything. Now, he's writing this to Christians. Even when you get in the church and you're in the church, before you have these close relationships with folk, give it a little time. Did you say that? No, the Bible says that.
Yes, sir.
But examine everything. Notice carefully. That's what the scripture said. But he says, hold fast to that which is good. I mean, boy, the brother prayed a few minutes ago, and he said that we are blessed here. We're blessed here at the Fieldwater Church of Christ. I cringe, and I thank God for being in a church that's loving. And I know it comes from a slanted eye. You know, of course, we all think that we loving. That's loving, that has strong leadership. Do you know what's out there?
Teach us.
Do you know issues churches? You know issues people are having, and so when you get something that's good, cherish it. Yeah, you get something that's good. You got a good woman, or you better squeeze her and tell her. And cherish her. Yeah, so y'all just leave Sister KB alone. Don't mess with her. She's mine. Yeah. Notice this. We're going somewhere. You said I could take my time. I knew this was going to take a little time to develop this lesson. So every lesson ain't a shouting hallelujah lesson, okay? See, the Roman belt holds everything together. Truth does the same thing. As Christians, we're to test all things and hold on to the truth. Hold on to it with all we have. See, truth keeps us in reality. Yeah. See, truth regulates our senses. And God gave us emotions. We cry, we laugh, we have joy, we have pain. God gave us these emotions, and they are used rightly. They are sometimes releases. Sometimes they restrain us. Sometimes we show great joy with the Lord. But see, if you just go just on your emotions, you mess up in this life. You'll have a crazy kind of life. Listen to the passage in 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 1 as we try to teach a little more on this. He says, but false prophets also arose among the people. Yeah, that, just as there will also be false teachers among you. You know they're talking to us. He said, among you, who will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the master who brought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves. Then it goes to verse 2. Many will follow their sensuality. Now that word is not sexuality. It is sensuality. He says, listen. He says a lot of people get caught up in sensuality. In the sensory things. He says, and because of them, the way of truth will be maligned. Now we're talking about this belt that we all need. And this is where we have to really be careful because, see, we're emotional. See, sensuality, it means you're led by the senses. It's a word that means unbridled lust. It's a word that means excess. It's a word that says and does whatever it means saying and doing whatever you feel. And that's that, boy, that can be dangerous, saints. Oh, I know it. I know because there's a whole lot of things in this world that sure feel good. Yes, it does. See, sensuality would say sleep all day. Or until you feel like getting up. See, a lot of folk meant to be here at 8 o'clock, but they just couldn't get up. They just say, now this is too good. I'm gonna get it while it's getting good. Notice the contrast. The truth says, Proverbs 13:4, the soul of the sluggard craves and gets nothing, but the soul of the diligent is made fat. See, there's another translation that says, diligence makes rich. Well, what are you saying, Brother Gary? See, listen, you see, nobody needs to sleep all day. Amen. I don't care how good it feels. If you're sleeping all day, you know what? You need to shake up. You need to say, you know what? I just need to get up and even sit up. If I don't have nothing, okay, I'm retired. I know that's right, Lord. I know it's a difference. But even retirees don't need to sleep all day. Notice what? That's the truth. He says the sluggard. Now, don't misunderstand me. See, God's way, the truth will come to pass. And you take a person that's diligent, that's a person that's that's consistent, a person that's a worker. See, you sleep all day and you don't work, you're not doing nothing, you don't have nothing, you can't get nothing, and you want something according to the Bible. But the diligent, he's diligent. He's consistent, or she's up to the task. She takes care of business. She takes care of the details. And she does that. And see, you enjoy your benefit. Your reward is your sleep. Your reward is that day. The diligent works steadily for a period, and the diligent gets fat later on. Amen. See, the truth is always, God's truth is the best way for us in this life. Work hard now so you can sleep later. That's all he's saying. Don't let your senses control you. Sensuality says, sensuality would say, let him have it. Shoot him. Kill her. You know, you get mad, you get angry, and your senses, we know how we act. And somebody angers us, somebody cuts in front of you, somebody violates you in some kind of way, somebody lies on you, and you, our senses, we get mad, they got to be out there, they're not going to get away with this, I'm going to deuce. That's your senses.
Teach us.
And for the Christian, now we're talking about for the Christian. We're not talking about folk out in the world. Because see, the Bible says we're the light of the world. We're the salt of the earth. God, he says, I want the saints to treat your enemies different than folk out in the world. But truth would say this in Proverbs 15:1. Remember, sanctify them with the truth. Your word, God's word. Listen to what God's word says. A gentle answer turns away wrath. Some of this stuff is so simple. He says, a gentle answer turns away wrath. Is that the truth? You know that's the truth. Uncle Gary, you had to say that. No. You better put this belt on. It'll help you live longer. How many have lost their lives? It says, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up. Some of us have been victims of this week, that we could have diffused a situation. As a child of God, you had the power within you, but you didn't have your belt on. And some of us, we need to thank the Lord. I came to worship, said Brother Gary. Oh, Lord, thank you, Jesus, because I'm gonna handle this issue when I go back to work Monday. I'm going to handle it different now because I'm going to put my belt on. See, notice this. These tools that God has given us, they are not helpful tips. See, some of us will help with that, those armor. Yeah, that's some good tips. They are not helpful tips. These are God's defenses and his weapons that he's given to Christians. And when you don't use them, you don't put them on, you are defenseless and vulnerable to any old thing that happens in this world. We're talking about our belt of truth. See, sensuality would say, do whatever you do, have to do to make it. We've heard it before. Just do what you do, Boogie. You got to do what you got to do. That sounds good. And it is appealing. But that's not God's truth. The truth would say, some of myself might not be able to receive this. Better is a little with righteousness. That's the truth. Some of us need to get to this point. See, we trying to make it at every cost. And some of us want things just because somebody else have them. You know, and see, because you, a lot of people have some stuff right now, but you don't know how they got it. Amen, somebody. He says it's better than righteous and great income with injustice. And remember, the truth will come to pass. It will be realized. See, the world we live in, it teaches the truth is what we make it. The good and bad are relative, and there are no absolutes. They're only the equally valid opinions. That's your opinion. Yeah, that sounds good and has some merit, but that's just your opinion. This pluralistic, postmodernistic world we live in. But the Bible teaches that the truth is God's word. That good, notice, good and bad are defined by God. That's what you believe in your own sight. It's God, and that there are eternal and unchangeable absolutes. Notice, and they are uninfluenced by our opinions. What we think about God's truth does not matter because it's still the truth. Notice it. And sometimes, you know, we even in Lord's church, we're getting so liberal in a lot of things. We think that and I'm not saying we do have some liberties in the, thank God, in the New Testament. And we're not under bondage and under the old law and all of the ordinances of the old law. But God has structure in his church. Yeah, God didn't leave a free for all for us to do what we want to do and what we feel like in the Lord's church. Amen, somebody. I use an example in Wednesday night Bible class. I'm going to use it this morning. 1 Corinthians. Turn that with me. 1 Corinthians 14, 26. I'm trying to end on time so we can use this for our television program. He says, verse 26, what is the outcome then, brethren? Paul writing to the church, and he was responding to their gifts that had been, these spiritual gifts that had been given that people were using, and some of them were craving gifts to be seen, and everybody wanted to use their gifts, and it's good because God gave the gifts, but they were just getting out of hand with things. And he says, when you assemble, he's talking, this is the context of worship. He says, when you assemble, each one has a song, a psalm. He said, you got folks with gifts of singing, and everybody's singing their own tune. He says, has a teaching. How in the world two or three people going to be teaching at the same time? He said, has a revelation. He said, has a tongue. When tongue speaking was in the New Testament church, has an interpretation. Then he goes on to say, let all things be done for edification. He says to the church, he says, now when you come together, God has given us all of these gifts. Some of us in the church can sing. And don't we have singers in here right now that can show up sing? Amen. But the Bible tells us to sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing to make melody in our hearts to the Lord. He says we're admonishing one another in songs, hymn, and spiritual song. And now we have four or five people who have, maybe in here we might have three, four people who have professional voices. Amen. But yeah, I can sing. Well, you in that group then. I'm talking about you too. Well, suppose all four of them wanted to sing a different song at the same time. Now, because God gave us the gift, and I can sing, and I know I sound good. Well, this is not the you sound good show, amen, somebody. Yes, somebody has a teacher. Somebody, well, Gary, I know you studied that lesson, but I got a lesson. And we up here battling and teaching at the same time in the Lord's church and in word. Suppose you could speak in tongues and you jibber-jabbing and just jibber-jabbing and writing, saying stuff. Nobody know what you're talking about. Amen, amen somebody. Now, notice. No, this is God's word. But does that happen today? Yes, it does. You got churches that do all kind of things, quote, in the name of the Lord, quote, in the name of the Spirit, quote, because I'm trying to get my church on. Amen, somebody. Now, we're talking about the belt of truth. Some folk don't want to hear the truth. Let me finish this now. I'm not through yet. He says, let all things be done unto edification. He says, in the church, when we come together, we sing, and it's to build everybody up. And so we're singing, Brother Stanley, we're not interested in Brother Stanley singing a solo up here right now by himself so he can show us, I can sing. Or you do that on your own, amen. Or at the concert, or we'll pay to go see him. Yes, right. Amen, somebody. And so it's not the Stanley Show, is it? Amen. We're singing together. He said, everything, the teaching, is to be done, not to show, not to quote scriptures and memorize scriptures and quote them so everybody can say, ooh, that boy, he know that Bible. It's for edification, for building up, for teaching, for encouraging the Lord's church. And then drop down to verse 33. For God, verse 33, same chapter. For God is not the God of confusion. God wants his worship service to be, we're to sing in the Spirit. He says, I will sing with the Spirit. Now, I'm not saying, Lord, no, you know we need this too. Now, when we come to the Lord's house, now, we already don't have the instruments. Amen, somebody. Amen. So we don't have the instruments. We are God's instruments. He says, the fruit of lips. And that's what we sing with our lips. But he tells us to sing with the Spirit. So when you come to the Lord's house to serve the Lord, leave everything else out there. I don't feel good. I just ain't feeling it. Notice your senses. I'm not just feeling it today. We are singing to God. God is the reason why your lazy, is in here now. I was talking about myself. I was talking about you. Yeah, and then we're talking about our belt of truth. And so we sing. Now, when we got to sing. Yeah, see, it's not for you to sit out. No, because you don't understand what I've been through. Everybody, y'all, come on, let's tell them what we all been through this week. We'd be here all day long, have mercy. What you been, now, what I've been through. Don't get me started. He says, God is not the author of confusion. This group, this aisle right here got one song going on. This aisle got another song going on. These brothers over there, they tongue speaking on that side. We got all this going. We singing a song. This aisle right here preaching and teaching. This aisle over here got tongues going on. What? It kind of. Now we're talking about the belt of truth. In the Lord's church. Then goes on to say, I got to stop. He goes on to say in verse number 40, but all things must be done properly or decent and in an orderly manner. Amen, somebody. God is pleased when we glorify him, when we sing songs together, when we pray to him, but we not allowing our emotions to take over the whole worship service, and we got chaos going on everywhere in the Lord's church. Proverbs 3:3, do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. So you will find favor and good repute in the sight of God and man. 1 Peter 1:13. Therefore, prepare your minds. Or the King James translation would say, gird up the loins of your mind. Tighten up the belt of your mind. Keep sober in spirit, for your hope complete your hope completely on the grace that be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:15, be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. Yeah. What's your truth basis this morning? I certainly hope for the saints, it is the word of God. Let's hold on to it. Let's teach it. Let's study it. Let it be our guide. Because you see, the sad thing is this, is that I believe in Matthew chapter 15. The Bible says, but in vain they do worship me. That's what the scriptures say. Teaching for doctrine, the command. Do you realize, see, if truth is not our basis, the sad part is that many folk are going to get way down the road. And they're going to realize way down the road that I've been doing this my way and not God's way. And everything, see, I didn't have time. I wanted to get in some of our relationship. Because see, you need to be truthful where you stand with God in your relationships. Because the truth will come to pass. And that's why I believe that the Holy Spirit led Paul to write this letter to the church, and he began with the truth. Because if your foundation is not right, if your foundation is not with the truth, everything you build on it, though it might stand up for a while, the truth will come to pass. God is good. If you're here not today and you're not a child of God, you need to be. This is church. This is a serious study. It really is. But these tools, we gotta have them. You know, sometimes you want your kids to be happy all the time, but sometimes you need to sit them down.
Yes, sir.
You look at them, tell you something, son. You better open your little eyes. Because this is something, if you don't do this, you don't have to worry about all of the joy you think you're going to have in life. Because it's not going to happen. And the younger we teach him, the better. Amen. You come by faith, believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. If you're willing to repent of your sins and to confess the sweetest name that you could ever confess, the name of Jesus, be baptized in water for the forgiveness of your sins. He tells us if we're faithful to death, he gives us a crown of life. You're here and you want to be a child of God. Please, it's the best life. It is. Well, yeah, it sounds like being a Christian is hard. No, not being a Christian is hard. Yeah, that's the tough life. In Christ, there's so many wonderful benefits. Somebody come to Jesus. If you need prayer, come right now as we stand and sing the song.
Show me the way.